So welcome to our new series called Our Favorite Parables. And by our, we actually mean our, as in our congregation. So this series was not picked by the pastors, but by you, by submitting your favorite parables of Jesus. And there was no clear winner out of the submissions. In fact, we had 8 different parables in all submitted, and only 2 of those received more than 1 vote. But even then, 2 of them were kind of the same parable from different versions in the gospel. So there was a lot of variety that was submitted. And the exciting news is we're pretty sure that we will be able to preach on all the parables submitted by combining a few into the same message that were similar, and including one today here in this introduction to the series. So everyone who submitted a parable, and thank you so much, will have a chance to hear it preached on, or at least integrated into one of the messages. So we'll tell you that plan in just a second. But this morning, I want to do 3 things. I want to introduce the purpose of parables, so why Jesus tells parables. 2, I want to offer a brief reflection on a short parable that was submitted, the parable of the pearl. And then 3, I want to wrap it all up with the point of this and transition into another point, the Sunday connection point at the end. So, introduction to parables, the purpose, the pearl, and the point. So let's begin with 1, the purpose of parables. So I want to start by introducing this genre of parables, the biblical or Jesus way of teaching truths through story. And what I want you to see is that Jesus teaches in parables because he cares more about invitation than he does relaying information. So invitation over information. So a parable, which comes from the Greek word parabole, in its most basic or truest form is simply a story meant to convey a point. So parable is just a story meant to convey a point. And it usually has a beginning, an end, and characters, and usually even a plot within the story. Importantly, these are not just stories meant to entertain. They are meant to elicit a response, a reaction. They are stories that call for a response, that invite further exploration and some sort of action from us. And therefore, we could say they are more about invitation into something than just information about something. And this is really important and true of most of the Bible's way of teaching. That it is significant that the Bible is not mainly a bunch of propositions of truths, not kind of bullet points of what you should do or believe, kind of do this or don't do that. I mean, there's some of that, but it's kind of a minority way of teaching or secondary form of teaching in the Bible. Instead, the Bible is more of a story that we are invited into. A story with a beginning and with an end that invites us to participate in the time in between. In his great book called Eat This Book, and if I were to recommend one kind of non-academic book about how to read the Bible, this would be it, Eugene Peterson's Eat This Book. But he says the biblical way is to tell a story. And in the telling, to invite us to live into this, that this is what it looks like to be human, to live by the Spirit of God as we are invited into a story. And the Bible is meant to invite us into asking or responding as we read, you know, where do I fit in with God's story? Who is God calling me to to be or how to respond to this unfolding drama? And then perhaps most important, who is God or what is God like in this story? And parables specifically do this in their own unique way by providing a point of reference or a point of entry into a story by getting us to ask, you know, who am I in this story? And that question can change at different parts in our spiritual journey. So, for example, in the parable of the prodigal son, when we first become a Christian, we might really identify with the lost son who has found his way back. But then after being a Christian for a little while and maybe a little later on down the road, we might more relate with the elder son who feels more entitled and perhaps even jealous. And then the goal of the parable ultimately would be for us to have, in the end, the heart of the Father. So there are different layers of invitation, and it's why a parable might speak to us one way at one point in life and then at a different way at a different point in life. I mean, we might first think of ourselves as the good soil, you know, that where the seed is able to grow and to flourish and to do well, like in that parable. But then years later, as we wrestle with the temptations of wealth and busyness and success and money and raising a family and kids and careers, we might start to feel a little bit of conviction that the thorns of life are choking the seed of the gospel in our life. And so it convicts us in a good way to perhaps make some changes. And this is just part of the genius of parables. They are invitations to consider our lives, the condition of our hearts, and whether or not we line up with the heart of the Father and the values of the kingdom. Parables, you know, rarely end by just saying, so do this, or the moral of the story is. They kind of leave it open-ended because it's an invitation to discuss and reflect and kind of say, what response might this be calling me to? Who am I in this story? What does it reveal about my thoughts and intentions? How does it change the way I think about God? So Jesus invites and inspires through story more than just relaying information. I mean, what's more powerful or engaging? You know, Jesus saying you should forgive people no matter what, which is true, or telling the parable of the unforgiving servants, as we'll look at in a few weeks. What invites more of a response? Saying Jesus loves you no matter what you've done, which is true. Or telling the story of a father who loves his lost and wayward son, who turned his back on his father, went away, and yet is then received back home with loving arms when he returns, as in the parable of the prodigal son, which we'll do the final week. See, parables invite a response, a decision. Propositions and mere stating of facts, while helpful at times, don't do quite the same or often have the same power and impact. So here's just a brief preview of some of the parables in our series, followed by a reading of today's parable and a few thoughts about that, by the person who submitted the request for today's parable. So I think you'll enjoy seeing her wonderful friendly face. But here's a little bit information about our series and setting up today's parable as well.
Let me tell you a story.
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 There was a time when Jesus was with his disciples.
There was a time when Jesus was sitting down to eat.
There was a time when Jesus was teaching in the temple courts.
The crowds came to him, and he taught them this parable.
Jesus called them over to him and began to speak in parables.
He got in a boat while all the people stood on the shore and told them many things in parables.
Jesus spoke to them again in parables.
Jesus told them this parable.
To some who were confident of their own righteousness, Jesus told this parable.
He He told them still another parable.
Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up.
Let us tell you a story.
I'm reading to you from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44 and 45. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes, sells all that he has, and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went, sold all that he had, and bought it. Now, this is my favorite parable, and I'll tell you why. When we were kids living on Texada Island, we'd heard the story about this miner who had died, and they found his body in his cabin in the forest, but nobody knew where the gold mine was. And so my brother and my sister and the neighbor kids, we used to hike through the trails looking for the lost gold mine. It was exciting, lots of adventure, lots of fun. And so this is my favorite parable, because I have found the pearl of great price. I have found the treasure like no other treasure. And of course, that is Jesus, the Son of God. And within every one of us, there's this hunger to know the Lord, if we know it or not. And we're all searching for this treasure. But I have found that Jesus always satisfies. And there's just no joy like knowing him. And once you know him, you want everyone else to know him too, because it's the greatest thing in life. It's a treasure, the pearl of great price.
Well, thanks, Luis. While that was going, I had a chance to look out the window here, and I see it's beautifully snowing now, so I hope you're enjoying that in your home this Valentine's Day as you worship with us. So the first goal was to just introduce the purpose of parables, but I do also today want to just briefly address one of the parables, this short parable, the parable of the pearl as read by Luis. And, you know, I'm with you, Luis, and isn't Luis great? So amazing to see how she's just adapted to these new technologies to stay connected to church, even in this pandemic. It's so cool to see her active and participating. But I'm with you, Luis. I love this parable, and it's connected parable of the treasure. And it's a great parable to talk about in an introduction to parables, because it really captures the heart of what a parable is meant to do. Namely, inspire us and invite us into a deeper way of living rather than just inform us or give us information. And what inspires our imagination for kingdom living more? You know, Jesus saying, what I offer is so great, you should give up everything to pursue it. Or Jesus saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a fine pearl. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. I mean, the latter causes us to ask, what caused this hunger in the merchant for fine pearls? What is so valuable about this one pearl that he found? What does it look like to give up everything for something so valuable? Did he consider the risks? Or did he just go for it? What happens after we possess the pearl? And so on. One of the cool things about this series is how the whole thing coincides with Lent, which begins next Sunday. So this series will take us from the beginning of Lent all the way to Palm Sunday, which is, of course, then followed by Easter. In Lent, for those of you new to Christianity or the Christian seasons, is an invitation to reflect on our sin, our brokenness, our frailty as human beings, and recognize our desperate need for a Savior, which then leads us into Good Friday and eventually Easter Sunday. But Lent is a season of repentance and mourning and sorrow, a time where we put to death things that are keeping us from more of God. And the parables you submitted really fit into the season of Lent so well. It was really cool and just encouraging to see how that lines up. But here's the thing about Lent. Lent is all about putting things to death so that other things and other parts of us might come to life, which is what the Easter season and the season after it leading up to Pentecost is all about, life. So in other words, we say no to things in Lent so that we might say yes to even greater things at Easter. And where people can get off track or overly religious about Lent is when it's all about saying no with no purpose or points. You know, just saying no for the sake of saying no so we can pat ourselves on the back and feel holy and religious. People often give up things for Lent, like meat or chocolate or TV watching or phone use or Facebook or anything else. And that's to be encouraged, right? To loosen these things' grip or hold on our life and just bringing to us during the season a constant awareness that we're in a season of mourning and putting things to death more than celebration. But there has to also be something on the other side. I'm saying no to blank so that I might say yes to blank, right? I'm saying no to Facebook, except on Sundays, if you're watching, you're worshiping in church service. I'm saying no to Facebook so that I might say yes to real embodied or encouraging relationships that help me as a person. I'm saying no to late night TV so that I might say yes to more Bible reading and prayer or spending time with my spouse or family or kids. We say no so that we might say yes to something even greater. And that is the message, really, of the parable of the pearl. More than likely to the average individual, this parable just makes no sense. Why would you sell all you own to buy one single pearl? I mean, this is bad investment advice, right? This is not a diversified portfolio. This is not a balanced approach to life that has often become an idolatrous pursuit in our culture. Why forsake everything for one thing? That's not balance. Well, when you know how great that one thing is, and you realize that nothing compares to it, and you come to understand that this one thing will one day be the only thing that remains, then you go all out for that one thing. All your desires, pursuits, affections, finances, thoughts, and intents are focused on this one thing. I mean, in some ways, Christians should be some of the most unbalanced people in the world, right? That we are called in the book of Peter a peculiar people. Our lives shouldn't really make a lot of sense to other people in a way. And the parable of the pearl teaches us that rather than mastering or being mastered by many things, we are better off mastering and being mastered by one thing, if that one thing is the most worthy pursuit there could possibly be, a life consumed by the kingdom of Jesus, the one thing that will last forever and ever. It's a Psalm 27:4 kind of lifestyle where the psalmist says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple." See, the power to say no comes from the desire to say yes to something greater. C.S. Lewis, in his description of joy, alludes to this and says it like this and is helpful here. He describes Christian joy as an unsatisfied desire, which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction. Meaning the wanting of this one thing, even if incomplete or unfulfilled on this side of heaven, is more satisfying than the having of anything else the world can offer. So as we enter into this Lent season and this parable series, will you open up your heart and pray, Lord, be the treasure, be the pearl that I forsake all for, that I would be consumed by this one beautiful thing. So let's close with the point. My goal is that I hope this series deepens your love for the Bible, and more importantly, the one who inspired it. The point is that Christianity and the Bible is not a set of rules to follow. It's not about making people more religious. It is about helping people fall more in love with Jesus, the pearl of great price, being transformed into his image and therefore becoming more fully human as we are transformed by the Spirit of God. The Bible is a beautiful invitation to life that is truly life, more than it is just information and facts. And perhaps you've given into the lie that Christianity and the Bible is simply just about a set of rules to follow. It's just about being a good person. And therefore, you're bored in your spiritual life. You're lifeless. You're disinterested in the Word of God or Christianity. This upcoming Lent season and parable series, I pray that our hearts would be awakened, and our love and desire for Jesus would in the end blossom and come to life as we respond to his invitation through these parables as we prepare for Easter and resurrection life. So my last point is the point about falling in love with Jesus. But in a way, it's not the last point. The actual last point here is our Sunday connection point. See what I did there? Points. Yep. Meaning we don't have the last word, so to speak. You get that. A chance to respond, to reflect, and to pray with each other this morning. So in just a minute, you will enter the connection point Zoom room. And the link is in the event description of this video, wherever you're watching it. And it's also going to be posted right now at the top of the comments on those platforms. And it's the same link every week. So if you just want to bookmark it, that will make it easy for you each week. But we won't always put this on the screen like we will now. But just to give you a taste, we'll give you some conversation starters or prayer leads in case you want them and you don't have to use them. But here's something that you could discuss. So you see these on your screen here. Question would be, have you thought about the Bible more as invitation or information? So discuss that or any other impressions from today's message. And then for your prayer focus, you could take some time to pray for the Lent season. What might God be calling you to? Maybe you haven't thought about it yet, and there's a week until we begin. So you can ask the Spirit to start speaking to you about how he wants to bring you into this season and this story that we live our lives by, the gospel story. And then pray for each other for the courage to forsake everything for this one thing. So we're excited for you to participate in that in just a minute. But before that, just want to end by saying happy Valentine's Day to everyone. We hope you have a wonderful day of love, and would love for you to receive this benediction of love from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. So, church, as you go into this day and celebration of love, may the great love of the Father be lavished on you through his Son and by his Spirit, so that you would know in your innermost being that you are a beloved child of God. Amen. Amen. Happy Valentine's Day. And go ahead and head over to Zoom now. Thomas will be there to meet you for some more connection and a chance to respond to this week's message. We love you, church, and we'll see you again soon.